please call the message.
I thought about the bullets and putting, because usually I put like the message and then have a message title, and I realized it was the message that I had. That's a little redundant. It's about the message. So it's the message. It's the message tonight. There was a marathon runner years ago, 1994, he won the New York City Marathon. His name was German Silva. And German Silva had a nickname, and his nickname was Wrong Way Silva. Anybody guess why? Well, there was a marathon, actually the one that he won there in New York, and as he was running along in the race, somehow he got off track. And news got to his wife was waiting at the finish line, that he had a lead, a pretty good lead, but that he had somehow gone off course, so she just couldn't believe it. She said, "You can't be that stupid. There's no way he got off course." He'd been through all five boroughs and was nearing the finish line. And after the race, he was asked what happened. And he said, well, he saw the press truck was right in front of him, and he was approaching the finish line. And he was so focused on just that press truck in front of him, filming him as he approached the finish line. And, of course, they don't want to break the tape, so they veer off. And he followed them off course. A New York City policeman saw what was going on and realized what was happening and actually tracked him down and said, hey, you're going the wrong way, and you got it back on course. And he actually ended up finishing the race and winning by a couple of seconds, even though he had gone off course. We've been doing a series the last couple of weeks. We're going to kind of wrap that up. It's going to continue in the next series next week with like one of the coolest videos we've ever had for a message. So I know a lot of you are traveling. You're going to miss it. But we've been talking about the mission of the church the last couple weeks, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we know that Jesus clearly gave his followers a mission. Jesus gave us a mission, and that's a continuation of his mission that he came for into this world. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach to all preach the gospel to all creation. And then we know Matthew 28 is a well-known passage for many folks too, verses 19 and 20, where he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we know from Scripture that the course that Jesus has laid out for us as the church, the course that he's laid out, is the course of sharing the gospel with everybody, with all the world. That's the mission for us, that we would give people an opportunity to come to Jesus and to know him. Well, we also know, I think deep down, that a lot of his followers, and maybe some of us from time to time, have gone off course somehow. That maybe bringing people to Jesus, it's not exactly the race we're running every day of our lives, even though that's the race that the Lord's given us. But we need to take the command of Jesus seriously. We need to be more like Jesus. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he was driven by love. Jesus was driven by compassion for people. In Matthew 9, I think I have this on the overhead, yeah. 9, starting in 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So Jesus saw that people were harassed, that people were helpless. And he had compassion on them. And he said, you know, nobody's seeing their condition and doing anything about it. They're in this situation where they're like sheep and they have no shepherd. There's nobody there to guide them, to tell them the truth, to show them the way, to have compassion on them. There were people without a connection with their Heavenly Father, Jesus was saying. People who didn't have God in their lives. And Jesus had compassion on them. But Jesus had more than just compassion, right? He couldn't just have feelings go out to them and see the condition of all these lost people and just feel bad for them. He was compelled to do something, to actually intervene in some way. So he turns to his disciples, and basically, here's what Jesus said. He said, would you guys pray that there would be somebody, that God would send somebody who cares enough to do something. Would you pray that our Heavenly Father would intervene, that He would send people to these lost folks who are harassed and helpless? We have the honor as the church to be the answer to Jesus' prayer. We are the provision for the people who are helpless and harassed. We are who God has provided to bring good news to other people. Last week we said that one good method that we can use kind of as a foundation to help keep us on course so we don't veer off somehow is to pray this prayer. And I'll repeat this for folks who weren't here. This is a great prayer to start your day with because you're inviting God into your situation. You're saying, God, I may have my agenda for the day. Maybe I've got to show up for work and the car's low on gas and I got to pay those bills and I've got what I want to do. But what you want matters. Your agenda is important, God. So this is an invitation to the Lord to come into your day with His agenda. Lord, how do you want to love me today? Because we need the Lord to come in and show us His love and His care for us. And as He does that, that gives us the equipping we need to love other people, that He can love people through us. So the second part of that prayer is, who do you want to love through me today? We pray that in faith, trusting that God is going to answer. And then we pray that with expectation, that we're looking for Him to do that. That He's going to bring opportunities and answer to that prayer because we know it's according to His will. And this prayer helps us to remember what our mission is. It helps us remember where the course is laid out that we're supposed to be on, which is sharing Jesus with the world. And it helps us to realize that it's not in our own flesh, it's not in our own provision to somehow have enough love to be effective and to reach people, that it's God working through us. And so we need to be submitted to Him and trusting Him and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to love other people in our lives because He has compassion on them and He loves them. God wants every person to have a chance to know Him. He doesn't want us to compartmentalize and think that some people are beyond His reach or that it's just an outreach thing that we do when we all get together and have a plan. It just is the normal overflow of His love for us. This should be part of our lives. That we are looking for chances for people to come into a relationship with God through us. And He offers to do this through us. If you look at Matthew 28 there, when you look at it, He promised to be with us always as we engage in this mission. So we need to take this seriously, this command from Jesus to share Him with other people. The early Christians that He was speaking to directly at the time when this was first spoken, they took this very seriously. And we'll see this in the book of Acts, how they lived this out. The book of Acts is a history book of sorts, among other things. It's a recording of the early church. And we see in the book of Acts that what Jesus told the disciples to do, they took very seriously. Not as just something to talk about or to know about, but they committed their lives to it. And I know that that can seem very challenging in ourselves. You know, maybe we think, I'm not an extrovert, I'm not a person who, it's not easy for me to talk about Jesus with other people. But we're going to see that God makes provision for every person to do that. So we're going to skim over the book of Acts a little bit, specifically chapter 8, if you want to turn to Acts 8, if you have your Bible, or if you have an app and want to turn to Acts 8. Jesus told the first disciples to share the good news with everyone. We want to see, how did they do that? What did that look like in the early church? And we can learn a few lessons by taking a look at that. These were folks who, a lot of the early church people that we see in Acts and what they were doing, a lot of these were people who were directly taught by Jesus, that spent time with Him, that He had given them direct teaching and had helped them to come to a knowledge of the truth personally. The first thing that we can learn is that everyone shared Jesus with others through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, there was this early Christian named Stephen, and he gets murdered. He's martyred for his relationship with Jesus Christ. And when he gets killed, it really gets those opposed to Jesus really fired up all the more. You know, they are at this point, it's like a mob. You know, they just want to get rid of the Christians. They're in this frenzy against the Christians. So in Acts 8:1, it says, on that day, right after Stephen had been martyred, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So most of you know the apostles were these guys who spent a lot of time with Jesus. They had a few years to really be poured into by Jesus from the time they had with him. But it's interesting, this passage says everyone except them. Everyone except the apostles. So it's the normal Christians. It's just the normal folks like me and you. They are forced out of Jerusalem, and then in Acts 8:4 it tells what happened. Those who had been scattered, just the regular folks, not super apostles or just the regular Christians, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Wherever they were sharing Jesus with other people. It wasn't for people with seminary degrees. It wasn't for people who were even the church leaders, necessarily. It wasn't just for them. It wasn't for people who were super spiritual. It was just a normal thing that everybody did. Everybody shared Jesus with other people. So why is it that a lot of us don't share our faith as much as we really ought to? You know, we know that we're supposed to, but we struggle with it. Why is that? Again, if you want. Fear. Sometimes. Doubt. I've had a lot of excuses. There's times that I've felt the Holy Spirit compelling me to share Christ with somebody, and I've done it. And there's been plenty of times I've chickened out. For whatever reason. Talk myself out. But think of it this way. We have the gospel. We have the gospel message, which is the only remedy there is. It is the only cure there is for sin and for death and for eternal separation from God. If you have the cure for cancer and everybody else on the planet, for the most part, is dying of cancer, how do you keep it to yourself? Is there any excuse? Possible. Is there any excuse that you could possibly use to keep it to yourself? Because we come up with a lot of excuses. You know, sometimes we just think, well, I'm not a good enough example. I'm going to feel like a hypocrite if I share because I'm just not that good of a Christian. Maybe they're going to ask questions and I won't have to answer the questions. Or, you know, there's any number of excuses we have, but our excuses just don't hold up to the reality of the need that people have. Our excuses aren't legitimate. And the main reason that our excuses aren't legitimate, if you take all those excuses, they have a common denominator. I will be rejected. I can't be good enough. I won't have the answers. It's all about I. Because it's about me. But the good thing is, see, I and you don't actually lead people to God. We play a part in it. But he's the one who draws them. God is the one who really makes that happen. We just get to share him with other people and he can do whatever he wants to do. God does that. So we don't have to worry. It really takes the pressure off. God just wants us to be faithful, to share him with other people. And whatever success is, you know, however he works in a person's life and draws them or not, is really up to him. But he wants us to be faithful and to share him with other people, just to do our part. Sometimes we think people will be happy, you know, if we, and I'm not worried about that. You know, somebody's a friend that I know isn't a believer, and I'm worried because when I try to share Jesus, sometimes you get some pushback, and, you know, you don't want to lose that friend, and that's legitimate. You know, there is the Lord's timing. We want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading with that, and when we do things. But we need to make sure that we're not just making an excuse, you know, to not do what we need to do. There are countries in the world where a lot of you know Christianity is illegal, not legal to share Christianity at all. Years ago, I think it was 39 nations where it's just entirely illegal. You can be immediately thrown in prison. you're found talking about Jesus with people as a Christian. And there was a guy that I was reading about named Matthew, who worked as a missionary in this Muslim nation. And it's in a country where it's illegal. He's there covertly. And in this country, he's winning people to Christ. He shared Christ with people under the radar. And here's what they do. When he has somebody who comes to Christ, they're all Muslim. It's almost a 100% Muslim nation. So when they become a Christian, what he does is he said, I want you to make a list of everybody you know who's not a Christian, which is virtually everybody they know, probably. Pretty close. Okay, now, with your list of everybody you know who's not a Christian, I want you to list the 10 people who are the least likely to kill you for sharing Jesus with them. And they did. So they put their little star check next to the 10 people, a circle, who are least likely to kill them because they're a Christian and they're sharing Jesus. And now and then Matthew says, now immediately go and share Jesus with them. Go share the gospel. And they did. Nobody is probably going to kill you for sharing your faith. There are Christians around the world who it can cost them their life to share Jesus, and they still faithfully do it. And I know, you know, emotions are real. I know your fears are real and your excuses are real, and so are mine. But we have to understand that they just don't hold up. We stand before the Lord, he's not going to want to hear excuses of why we didn't share Jesus with people. Doesn't mean we won't get in it, but I'm just saying, you know, our excuses aren't going to matter. I think maybe another thing that we need to pray for is what Jesus had, which is compassion. You know, Jesus went to the cross motivated by love. I mean, he did for love of humanity, what God or anybody wouldn't do for any other reason except this incredible love, as John 3:16 tells us, that he had for us and took him to the cross. Maybe what we need to pray for, instead of more effective evangelism models or the right message to somebody, you know, twist somebody's arm to go out with a bracelet, or maybe what we need to pray for is more love. That we have so much compassion for people who are lost that it compels us to share Jesus with. Another thing for us to look at here in Acts that, to me, is a great encouragement. It says it was everyone through the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means by which we have what we need to share Jesus with other people. It's not our studies. It's not our, you know, that which is great. You know, it's not our devotions, and it's not our training, and those are all good things, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be on the mission that we're on, to do what God calls us to do. Remember, Jesus promised in Matthew 28 that he would be with us always. And the Holy Spirit is his answer for that promise, to always be with us. Having God with us is about completing the mission. It's about doing what he's called us to do. We see Jesus' disciples when he's arrested and crucified, and they're scared to say a word about him. You know, they're scared to identify with him at all, just like sometimes we are. And then Jesus comes back from the dead. And in Acts, we see him with the disciples, and he tells them in Acts 1:8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, listen, I'm not giving you a mission without giving you the provision to complete it. I'm giving you the power, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to do what I'm telling you to do. He's saying, I will empower you through the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. And they go, you look at these disciples, they go from being afraid to being bold, from being silent to speaking up and sharing the gospel message. And they can't shut them down. People are trying to stop them, and they can't because of the Holy Spirit empowering them. And I wonder if part of the reason maybe that the Holy Spirit was with them in such an incredible way is because they needed him to be. They needed him to be. They were speaking up. They needed God's presence. God promises to be with us. But in what context? Here in Scripture, he commands his followers to go out and share the good news and make disciples with others. And it's in that context that Jesus says, I'm with you always. He's saying, I will empower you as you need me to. As you need this strength, as you need my presence, as you share the gospel with people, I will be there. And maybe that's the reason why some of us, I know so many times I've been in prayer with people, or even in prayer meetings with several people, people are praying for the presence of God, which is wonderful. My number one desire, I mean, I just, man, more of God, absolutely. But I wonder sometimes if the answer to that prayer isn't waiting for us to need his presence more than just desire. That we're going to step out beyond ourselves and share Jesus Christ in a way that's maybe a little risky. It maybe stretches us a little bit, and we need him to show up to empower us to do this. No matter how insufficient you feel, maybe you can't be whole, but God can through you. God can do it in the presence of his Holy Spirit. When we join him in his mission, when we do his will, we're living by faith and not by sight. We're living his agenda for the day, not our agenda for the day as we do that. And that's hard sometimes. I know we're all prone to want to be selfish and just do what we want to do. But as we do what God commands us to do, he gives us the power that we need to do it. Another thing I want us to look at, one more thing from the book of Acts this evening, is that there's no one right way to tell people about the message of Jesus. You might be wondering, you know, if I get to share Jesus with somebody, what do I say? You know, how do I do that? And we see in the book of Acts here that there's not necessarily one way, there's more than one way to do that. And if you think you don't know the right way or you're going to do it wrong, you don't really have to worry about that. It's okay, because there isn't just one right way to share Jesus Christ with somebody. In Acts, we see that instead of having one training session where Jesus sat everybody down and said, here's these five verses, and you have to know these five verses, and that's wonderful. I do that. So I'm not saying that's wrong. But everybody has to do it this way. Make sure you bring up this section here and in bold, and you can't leave out this, and there's one way to do it. Jesus never does that. And we see it, and that's not what we see in Acts at all. For instance, in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter sharing a message about Jesus, and there's a group of people. And in his presentation, he quotes the Old Testament often, because they're Jews. They're people who know the Old Testament, and they know that there's this promised Messiah who's coming. So it makes sense to them. Peter's communicating the gospel about Jesus in a way that makes sense to people who are looking for the Messiah to come, and they're ready to make a decision about whether Jesus is or is not the Messiah, because they are looking for him. These are people who know the Old Testament, and they're waiting on the Messiah. And then in Acts chapter 17, we see Paul sharing the message about Jesus with another group of people. And in his presentation, he doesn't bring up any of the Old Testament at all. He doesn't quote any of the Bible whatsoever. And he doesn't even directly go to mentioning Jesus with these folks. And instead, he refers to things, connections in their own culture, and talks about spiritual answers that they are searching for. Why? Because they're Greeks. And he's in Athens. And they don't know anything about the Scriptures. They have no idea who the Messiah is. And they're not at a point where they're ready to make any kind of decision at all yet. They don't understand any of this. And so Paul doesn't ask them to make a decision yet because they're not ready. We see Jesus' followers in Acts share the message about Jesus in a lot of ways. They met people wherever that person was. They took time to, as we like to say a lot of times, they loved, they listened, they discerned, and then they responded in a way that made sense to the person they were talking to. And we need to do the same thing. We need to meet people where they are, and then as we have a chance to share more and more about Jesus, we do that. We share more about Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. Just in general, just a helpful thing. I know a lot of us have had a lot of years in church, and I would just encourage this. And when you're talking to somebody who is not a church person, and you're sharing Jesus with them, try to leave church lingo behind. Because there's a lot of times we use funky words that we only use. We use among ourselves, and we go into religious mode about Jesus, and we start talking about, you know, sanctification and purification and holiness and things that to us make perfect sense. But to people who've never set foot in church, they're just like you're speaking Portuguese and they don't. So just be aware of that. We want to just speak to people in their language that they understand. You know, there's a lot of other ways to share Jesus as well. A great way is just to share your testimony. You know, here's my life before I met Jesus. Here's my life now. Show them the difference. Just talk to them about the differences. Maybe. That's another way you can do that. Or you can walk them through the spiritual laws. You know, or you can walk them through the Revive bracelet that I like to wear. Child Evangelism Fellowship, if you've been through their training. You can use any number of ways to do that. You can even use a Bible verse. Even if they don't know the Bible, you can still use a Bible verse. One of my favorites is Romans 6:23. This is a great one to use just on a napkin or something with somebody. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can explain the entire gospel message through this verse. It's not tough at all. I'll just briefly share that with you. It says the wages. What's a wage? Anybody? Something you earn. Okay, the wages of sin. Okay, what's sin? Living your own way instead of God's way. What were we going to say? Anything against God? So when we do wrong things, you know, we live wrong. And we know that the wages of sin is death. So that's just saying, you know, when we do these wrong things, that we earn death. Well, what's death? Separation, right. Death is separation from God. So because of doing wrong things, we have this consequence, this wage of death, of separation from God. And then we have that, you know, but there, which here is a great kind of a hinge that this whole verse pivots on, because then it starts going into the good part. It says, the gift of God, so what's a gift? It's, yeah, just a freely given, you didn't earn it. It's out of love, there's a gift. So the gift of God is something that we're given that we can't earn. And God does this because he loves us. And that gift is eternal life. Eternal life. It just means that you're never going to be separated from God. You get to be with him forever. It's really, really good news. How is that possible? How could that possibly be? Christ Jesus. Yep. So we can explain that we deserve death. That was our wage. But Jesus paid that for us. He paid that wage so that we could receive the gift of eternal life and be forgiven of our sins. We could receive that gift from the Lord. He took our sin away. And that to receive that, all you have to do is accept it. Yeah. And I do like to throw in, you know, we use the Bible word repentance. You know, I do like to throw that in because sin is living your own way. And God's inviting us to live his way, to live for him. So it is good to include that as part of that. I use this, I'm going to shock a few of you probably, because some of you have heard me use this before, but to me, I think of it as God is offering like the most awesome steak dinner of all time. Okay, and what I've got on my plate is dog food. Okay, that's what I've chosen. That's my sinful mess, you know. That's the garbage that I think is so worthwhile that I'm holding onto my plate because I don't want to drop any. And he's just saying, come on, just dump your plate. Let's just get rid of it. I've got a new plate with something so much better. You don't want that. So you got to set the old plate to take the new plate. Okay, so he's just saying, hey, just that's basically repentance. Stop living your own way. Start with the gospel. So there's a lot of different ways to explain having a relationship with Jesus, to give people a next step. It doesn't have to be one particular way. And I do think sharing your story is a great way. You know, no matter what else you do, to share your story. You know, people will argue Bible verses or whatever with you, but it's hard for them to argue the difference Jesus has made in your life. So you can always do that. I mentioned German Silva, the runner who ran off course, and how a lot of us, I think a lot of the church has gotten off course from what the mission really is. And I don't know, you know, I wish I could say for sure how the church and our culture got so off track, but for the most part, do you guys know the percentage of Christians who ever shared the gospel? About 2, that's probably generous. It's such a small percentage. But I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I want to encourage you to step out of faith and do that. And I don't know why that happened in our culture, because most Christians around the world do share Christ. That's why the church is exploding in China and much of Africa, where they're persecuted. And it's just growing in leaps and bounds, but they're sharing Jesus. That's just what you have to do. We can't let our excuses get in the way. The first Christians, and many Christians today, were willing to die to see somebody just have the chance of maybe coming to Jesus. Now, if they were willing to do that, I think nothing, there shouldn't be anything that stops us from sharing Christ. Worship team, as we get ready to close, if you'd like to come on back up, I'll close with some prayer here. Well, actually, I'm not going to. I'm going to run after the worship team. If you'd like to come on, have the Lord lead you to finish with some prayer, that would be great. This series, technically, about just sharing the gospel, we're kind of wrapping it tonight. But I just want to mention again that the next several weeks, we're going to have kind of some low-shelf messages that just really share the love of Jesus Christ in a very accessible way for folks who, I mean, it'll be good for all you too, but especially it's really, I'm going to try to keep the lingo and just keep the messages in such a way as you really connect with people who don't know Jesus yet. So please invite people. This will be just a great opportunity to do that. And please pray that God will draw some folks. I mean, I know Kim and I have had a chance recently, and Rob has. Maybe some of you have to share Christ with some folks who don't know him. And we're just praying the Lord draws them wherever, you know, here or somewhere, that they would connect with the body of Christ. So please just be aware of that and look for opportunities for coworkers, neighbors, friends. Just invite people. And can't invite them for food yet. That's the 28th that we're starting the meals. But that's coming. So if you'd like to stand, you can, as we worship the Lord again and rock the floor.